Well, good evening, everyone. Thank you for coming. There are still some people arriving, but I'm going to go ahead with the announcements in any case. The first is a message from Swami Sarvadevanandaji, our head minister. Dear all, my loving greetings and best wishes for you all. Following the inspiration and footsteps of revered Swami Swanandaji Maharaj, we invite and encourage devotees everywhere to pledge for extra Jai Shri Durga Japam during this coming auspicious Navaratri to Vijayadashmi. This year, our days for chanting are from Tuesday, October 9th, to Friday, October 19th. As you may know, we have done this for many years to the great benefit of our entire spiritual community. The idea is to pledge a certain amount of japam, repetition of a mantra, for each day above one's regular number. This has at least two benefits. First, it helps to stretch ourselves to have a greater capacity for spiritual practice. Second, the spiritual energy produced and the merit that it brings for each 100,000 repetitions is equal to one grand Durga Puja performance. Counting may be done by using a mala or by tally counter, or you may simply observe how long it takes to do 1,000 repetitions. Thereby, one does not have to focus on the counting, but can know the number by watching the time only. Please email Brother Shankara, letting him know your pledge for this year's chanting. You can tell him your daily pledge or the total you commit to for October 9th to October 19th. For those of you who don't have my email address, just go on the website, the center's website. You'll see right at the top there's a place that says click here, and you can send me an email. We'll also do Sandhi Puja this year, Wednesday, October 17th, from 12:26 to 1:14 p.m. This is a very auspicious time when Divine Mother Kilda Nakisashra, Great Vida, it brings Mother's blessings when one chants her name then. We'll do the Sandhi Puja here at that time on that Wednesday, October 17th. So please participate if you can by coming to the chapel, or you can participate by chanting at home on that Wednesday at that time. Mother's blessings, Sarvadevananda. And I hope those of you who haven't already emailed a pledge will let me know tomorrow what your pledge is for the next 11 days. Now it is my great loving privilege to introduce our speaker, Swami Yogatmanandaji. He is a friend and a friend of this center. Swami Yogatmananda is president of the Vedanta Society of Providence, Rhode Island. He was born in 1953 in Karnataka, India, and then joined the Ramakrishna Order in 1976. He received his final monastic vows in 1986. After being at the Ramakrishna Math Center at Nagpur, India for 20 years, he was posted as the head of Ramakrishna Mission Shillong, India. He then came to the United States in the summer of 2001 as the minister of the Vedanta Society of Providence. Presently, his responsibilities include conducting Sunday services, weekly study classes, and organizing spiritual retreats. He is also invited to preach Vedanta, I would say teach Vedanta, at various places in the United States and elsewhere, of course, including our blessed selves. Swami Yogatmananda is the Hindu religious affiliate at Brown University in Providence, Rhode Island, and the Hindu chaplain at the University of Massachusetts in Dartmouth, Massachusetts. This is the second of two presentations by the Swami. Thank you very much for coming this evening. Swami Yogatmananda, please go ahead.
So let us begin with the prayers, the same prayer that we recited yesterday. ओम वांग मे मनसि प्रतिष्ठिता मनो मे वाचि प्रतिष्ठितम् आविराविर्म एधि वेदस्य म आणीस्थ श्रुतं मे मा प्रहासीः अनेनाधीतेनाहोरात्रान् सन्दधामि ऋतं वदिष्यामि सत्यं वदिष्यामि तन्मामवतु तद्वक्तारमवतु अवतु माम् अवतु वक्तारमवतु वक्तारम् ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः. May my speech be firmly established in my mind. May my mind be firmly established in my speech. May there be thus perfect correspondence between my thoughts, my words, and my actions. O self-effulgent Lord, be revealed in my consciousness. May the truths of the scriptures come to me. May not what I learn from them ever forsake me. Let me live my life day and night according to their teachings. I shall speak what is appropriate. I shall speak the truth. May that protect me. May that protect the teacher. Om, peace, peace, peace. The recitation of this prayer has a significance. These are called, you know, Shanti mantras, the peace chants. And the idea in reciting them before taking up any scriptural study or any religious spiritual discussion is that our minds are not open to receive these ideas, being all engrossed in various temporal pursuits, we lose sight of the ultimate goal of life, the real purpose that we are living for. And thus, before any discussion on such topics, our mind is to be made ready for it. It is like, you know, if a pot is kept with its opening down and then you keep on pouring water in it, not a drop will enter, you say. So first thing is keep the pot with opening up so that when you pour it, the things will get inside. So this is what is the purpose of this. And this particular prayer, it means let us be really sincere. That is the important requirement for getting the spiritual teachings in us. If we are not sincere, if we are talking one thing but there is something in our minds else, if we are crooked in our thinking, then the religious or spiritual ideas can't enter us. To make them enter in us, we should be very honest, sincere. So this is this prayer, that may my speech and my mind, they become, you know, united. Let them be congruent. May they be on the same page, as it were. There may not be, you know, an a dishonesty about, you know, what I talk and then what is in my mind. No cheating in our mind. So this is the first idea given in this. A proper synchronization of our whole personality. The three faculties of our personality, there is the intellect, there is the feeling faculty, the thinking faculty, feeling faculty, and the faculty of action. All should be properly synced, and thus all three become useful for us. It all depends on putting them in proper sync, proper order, like a machine. It works if various parts of that machine are synced properly. Otherwise, it won't function. It is like a car. You have the engine, the transmission, the body of the car, the wheels and all that. But if they are not put in right manner, not synced in right manner, then you may have the wheels. But if the wheels are kept in the trunk, then the car will not run on the wheels. So it is important that all these parts of our personality, they are well put in sync. So that when they are synchronized, then they become functional. So we'll come to that idea later in this text. But this comes in the prayer right there. Another important thing is that we learn a lot of things from the scriptures while we are listening. But then, when we leave the lecture hall, then those ideas, as if they are just left behind, those ideas, they forsake us, as it were. And that is why the prayer is needed. That which automatically happens, we don't need to pray for. As the example like we give, we don't need to pray that may tomorrow be Tuesday. Well, by the very fact that today is Monday, tomorrow is automatically going to be Tuesday. You don't go and pray, oh Lord, may tomorrow be Tuesday. Well, it is, you don't need to pray for that. It is an automatic thing. So that which we want to happen, but does not happen, for that we pray. Something that our efforts are not enough to achieve, then we put prayers for that. So we pray that whatever we learn from scriptures, let it stay with us, because we have invested lot of time, money, efforts in learning those. For example, you all came here, you spent on gas, you spent your time, you spent efforts. It is all, you know, not that you, none of you have too much free time to waste, you see. You are all very busy people, lot of things to do. And yet you have invested your time in coming here. You have also put in lot of efforts. Your time, your efforts, so many things have been put in to come here. And then if whatever you get, you leave here, is it's like this, that you go to a grocery store, buy many things, and pay the bill and then leave all that you bought right there and go home. it becomes like that. May that not become like this. Let what we learn, let us take that with us and put it to use. You buy grocery, maybe you take home and then never use it. You bought, say, a lot of apples and then just sit them, make them sit on the shelf, and after a few days they get nicely rotten and they become compost. Did you buy the apples for that? No, you bought them for using in your life. So let those teachings not just become a burden of information in your head, but let them be utilized in life. That is that part of the prayer. Let me live my life day and night according to these teachings. And yeah, friends, let us feel a sense of that determination, that let us make good use of these teachings. They are very valuable teachings. Let me tell you that, immensely valuable. So it is like that, immediately we may not realize the value of it. But appropriate time comes and then you see the value of it. Like in our area in Providence, winter is very harsh, nothing grows. Even if the seeds are there in the soil, nothing comes up in the winter. It is that sub-zero temperatures don't allow anything to come up. But let the spring come and then you see all that tulips coming up, lilies coming up. So, similarly, when we take these teachings, gradually their importance starts evolving in our life. I was telling this gentleman that, you know, that I read this book many times. And in the beginning, maybe I didn't understand it fully. He was asking a very good question. Okay, this is the book for the beginners. What will be the ultimate book? Ultimate, highest book? Tell me that also, so I will not have to bother you about it. He didn't say that, but that might be the reason. Okay, tell me what is the highest thing? And my answer, born out of my own experience, is that those very things, as you move forward, start revealing the higher and higher meaning. And that is why I keep on reading this great treatise, Imitation of Christ. Over the last 42-43 years, I have been reading this book. And I now realize that when I read it this time, just for this lecture, I had read it before, but now I am understanding some much elevated, much different and higher meaning from those very sentences. So, this is the worth of these great teachings, that as we evolve, those very things start revealing a much higher meaning to us. So, it is dependent on how we use it. Once we use it, we go to a higher level. We evolve spiritually. There is a physical evolution and there is a spiritual dimension of evolution. Sometimes I like to call it, following one of my wonderful teachers, that there is a horizontal evolution and there is a vertical evolution. The evolution of species that Darwin speaks of is a horizontal evolution, evolution of body basically. There is this spiritual evolution, which is, this is not topic today, but it is expressed in what is called rising of Kundalini, that we go from a lower stage of consciousness to higher stage of consciousness, still higher levels of consciousness, till we reach the ultimate goal of our life. This is the vertical evolution. And in this vertical evolution, even one ordinary sentence, ordinary looking sentence from scripture reveals such profound meaning. As we evolve, we see that, and then we see that the highest meaning of that, and feel that that has made my life come to the state of highest happiness, highest state of fulfillment. Yesterday we spent time, lot of discussion on the title of this book, Imitation of Christ. What is imitation and what is Christ? And read one sentence. That sentence I just repeat, but I won't trouble you by discussing it all over again. But I assure you, I can discuss that sentence again without repeating much of what I told yesterday. because it has tremendous meaning. That sentence, as you see, is this. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, says the Lord. He is quoting Jesus from the Gospel, that whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, says the Lord. These are the Christ's own words by which he exhorts us to imitate his life and his ways if we truly desire to be enlightened and free of all blindness of heart. Let it then be our main concern to meditate on the life of Jesus Christ. Let us meditate on the life of Jesus Christ. All this imitation of Christ, this wonderful book, is to see how Christ lived, the cardinal points. And we discussed that it is not the imitation of just outer things. Christ lived in that Middle Eastern area, so we also have to go and live there. That is not the essence of imitation of Christ. It is the principles that he manifested in his life. We have to follow those. Also, we looked into the meaning of this word Christ yesterday. So now let us see some other teachings that come in the book. I will go to the second section in this book. It is the chapter, this section is devoted to the directives for the interior life. Directives to the interior life. I don't know whether when Thomas A. Kempis, scholars have different opinions about it, and that is the meaning of being a scholar, you know. You have to have different opinions so that you have your own niche. So whether Thomas A. Kempis himself made these chapters or these sections or these different sections were made by the editors later. So, but whatever it is, this section speaks about the interior life, the cultivation, control, and proper molding of the interior life. And this is an intriguing statement, interior life. What is interior? One may say that, well, my entrails are interior and my outer skin is exterior. Exterior and interior. That the blood is interior, the skin is the exterior. It is quite common. Oh, there are many chairs here. Please come, do occupy. They are waiting to be occupied, you know. Thank you. So, what is interior, what idea of interior it is? It is, you know, the faculties that we were discussing, that as human beings we have the faculty of thinking, feeling and working. Now, all these are actually the faculties or capabilities in our mind getting expressed through the body. The body gives an expression to them, but they are all controlled by something that is called mind. It is in the Indian philosophy, there is another beautiful word for it. It is called antakarana, means the interior instrument. Body is the exterior instrument, mind is the interior instrument. They both, they are necessary, and the idea of interior instrument in the Indian philosophy is very profound. I have to mention this, that the modern Western psychology has not come to grasp these very important ideas about the functions of mind, how it functions. Our interior organ, that is the let us, you know, these days to explain that has become much easier because all of us use computers. And then, you know, a computer has hardware and software. Hardware and software. We have, you know, at least all of you have heard these words. Hardware and software. Hardware is what you see, what you can touch, what you can weigh, and so forth. Software is, you can't see that. You cannot make a physical weight of the software. It is not possible to physically weigh software. It is not something physical. You can't say, okay, give me 5 pounds of this particular program. It is, the statement makes no sense. It doesn't have a size, it doesn't have a shape or weight. It is something that is beyond the comprehension as such of our senses, but that is what functions. As you know, that it is the software that actually functions through the hardware. That is what makes the hardware work. It is similarly, that is what comes out from our actions. The external actions, both, you know, external actions of receiving as well as putting out, transmitting, receiving and transmitting. These are the basic two actions that we perform. We receive and we give out. It is, now these are actually, the expressions are there in the body. The working of that, the program for that is what is called mind. And therefore that interior is very important, because that is what really functions. You can certainly bring about lot of improvements in the hardware, but the more important thing is the improvement in the software that has actually driven the whole computer industry, that the improvement in software, that you know, even what is called packaging, it is a software packaging and hardware packaging. These are very distinct things. It is the software is the interior thing that you cannot see. Many of us say, I must control my mind. Isn't it that we feel that when we do something crazy, and then, oh, that I did because I did not control my emotions or my mind. Now I should control my mind. The question is, do we see it to control? How can we control, you know? I can control something that I see and can handle. If the book, for example, if I have to keep it here, I can keep. If I have to raise my hand, I can raise. If I tell you, okay, raise your mind. There is no such idea, you see. It is, okay, take your mind there. Where is it to take? So there is, we don't know anything about it. We have to therefore understand what is the meaning of this interior development or interior cultivation, which is most important. As you know, mind is the most important organ which makes us get happiness or peace. Otherwise, it is impossible. If the mind is troubled, then you may get, you know, lot of other things that you like. You may like to listen to music, but if that day you heard a very saddening news, you will not be able to enjoy much music that day, because the mind is saddened. If the mind is enthusiastic, the mind got some very good news. Now, there is the enthusiasm in mind. There is all the positiveness there. And so, you automatically start getting benevolent thoughts. Instead of depressing thoughts, you start getting benevolent thoughts. You start seeing good in other people. If not, then even if somebody is, when you are depressed, somebody tries to say, you know, hey, how are you? Irritation comes out, you know, because the mind is irritated. You can't feel happiness. It is because of that, the problem of the interior. It is like if there is a little pebble in this shoe, and then even if your shoe is excellent, you bought it with, say, $150, very good shoe, excellent looking. But if there is a stone inside, then while walking, will you feel comfortable? Impossible. So, we gradually understand that it is not the body, but it is the mind. It is not the hardware only, it is the software. Both have to be, you know, very well arranged, very well trained. And in spiritual life, the emphasis is on the interior training. Of course, yes, training of body is important, because for most of us, the body and mind, they are closely connected, and therefore the impact on body gets into the mind. Like suppose somebody gives you a blow and then you feel hurt, body has some hurt, but the mind has more hurt. The bodily hurt may go away in say an hour or so, but the hurt in the mind one may carry it for years. So it is the similarly, something that hurts mind may also reflect as the physical disease. It is there is a lot of study that goes on psychosomatic diseases. It is that the mind is sick, but that sickness just comes on the body too. There are many diseases which actually are expression of some mental problem that has evolved, or evolved is not the right word, but has expressed on the body. So because both of these are connected, yes, one has to organize both, make both healthy. Correct. But more emphasis is on our interior cultivation. Keeping body healthy is important. Please don't get me wrong. I am not suggesting that we can neglect that. Hardware is important. But more important is the software. For example, you may have a very good, TV. Bought at a high price, the state of art, most modern, and you do not have any connection, then why? It will just sit there. It will not show anything. You need some cable or some internet, something, by which you can see something on it, you can see some channel on it. Otherwise, it is meaningless to have TV. And what you see is more important. After all, you don't see the TV, but you see what is going on TV. So that is more important something. So similarly, this mind, internal instrument, that cultivation of that in across all different religions assumes this central importance. We have to cultivate our mind, make it more efficient, make it understand things better, make it arrange the priorities of life better. It is all that is really the part of this, what is called interior life. External life is, being hardware life, it is more or less same for all, not much different. I remember in my childhood, in our school, there was a poem, English poem, that was taught. Solomon Grande, born on Monday, thistled on Tuesday, married on Wednesday, ill on Thursday, worse on Friday, died on Saturday, buried on Sunday. That is the story of Solomon Grande. With more or less variation, this is the story of all of us. as far as the hardware goes, that is the story. Not much difference. It is, some may be weighing 150 pounds, some may be weighing 250 pounds. Well, that doesn't mean much of a difference. It is, these are, some may be born as a man, somebody born as woman. What difference does it make? It is, this is just the hardware aspect of it. What gets expressed from that? That is, therefore, a tangible thing. Body, we know it changes fast and dies. But what does not die by the death of body? Now, with the example of hardware and software, you can easily understand it. Let me give you a concrete example. You use all that all the time. Your smartphone. Smartphone, most of people here are smart enough to use smartphone. It is. Smartphone. Do you use it, Snehal? Smartphone? No? Yes. Okay, good, good. Most people use smartphone. I was given a smartphone by a devotee a few years back, many years back, when those were new things. And then I found it very difficult, you know, because I wasn't, the phone was smart, but I wasn't, you know. So I had to become smart enough to make at least some use of it. So it is now I have got a smartphone, but I still don't know so many different functions that it can do. But I can now handle a few things. So now what happens, that hardware, it gets bad. It gets, it has problems. Does not get now, loses the charge very quickly. You put it on the battery, that you get the battery fully charged. After 2 hours, you see it is all drained. So now you struggle with it for a little while, and then you say, well, I need to get what? A new phone. I need to get a new phone. Now the question comes, all the contacts that I have saved there, all the files that I have saved there, all the nice photographs I have on that phone, do I want to lose those? No. The phone has died, but those things, they don't die. I take them and put them on another hardware. I have, the computers that I use have changed over the years. But the files have not been discarded or thrown out. If they were useful, I have put them on new platform. So that is what the software is. There is no destruction of it. It is this, that program that we have is so solid that nothing gets lost. Everything is transferred on a new hardware. That is not the topic today. It is a very interesting topic called reincarnation. What happens in reincarnation, but I am not going to talk about it today. I just gave this example for us to know what is this interior thing is. What is our interior? It is that instrument that is our interior. And according to that interior, our exterior will be expressing just that alone. Everything that we have is all the interior. If you study some of the Vedanta literature, some basic premieres like, say, Vedanta Sara, you will see how each of those have been presented in such thoroughly logical manner. It is amazing that it is their ideas about what is mind were so clear that even the modern psychologists, they are struggling because of that, the obsession that whatever can be observed and caught by our senses, that alone is real. And therefore, by definition, for them, mind is something that does not exist. Let us just concentrate on behavior. It is, I don't want to again enter into that, but Many. It is in fact the mainstream psychology in Western world identifies brain and mind. Brain is same as mind. The Western neurology, the psychology, it is because one can see only the movements of neurons. But what is mind? We don't know. It is all the motion in the brain that gives a sense of mind. So I had long discussions with many neurophysicists that it is. They are very knowledgeable. One gentleman, one professor, he probably has retired now at MIT. So we used to have regular correspondence. And then he started agreeing, I understand that what you say makes sense. But I can't say it in scientific community, otherwise I will be outcast. So it is like that. This idea that mind is different, it is not the body, is very important central point that we have to grasp. And not only it is different, it is more important. It is that which is directing the functions of the body as your thought. And that thought brain is a secondary instrument that is channeling it. It is like the printer. What you want to print from your computer, there is a printer, an external hardware. That is really not the printer. What you see outside as printer is, you may wonder, well, is it not printer? It is not printer. It is the driver. It is the driver that you download. It is a software. Actual printer is a software. It is not the hardware. It is, that is really the printer that makes that other printer function and prints things. But what does it print? Whatever that you have typed or what you have, that alone will get printed according to the capability of that printer. So we have to see this clearly, that this is how this interior is, and that is to be cultivated. And how to cultivate it? What are the tools for cultivation of that? Well, that is an important thing. And it begins with the quote of Jesus, because this is imitation of Christ. It is this is following the master, the one who has controlled the mind, who has cultivated the mind. And so let us try to follow that. The kingdom of God is within you. Kingdom of the God is within you. A very important statement in Bible. Jesus tells the kingdom of God is within you. You know, I was giving a lecture on Bhagavad Gita at Brown University. It was a close distinct, mainly for the chaplains. That lecture was different religious representatives and such people. About 25 of us were there. And I spoke about Bhagavad Gita. And the then Catholic chaplain, he came to me, very nice gentleman, a lot of humor in him. And so he comes to me and says, Swami, again and again, you were mentioning God within us. We don't emphasize that in our church. We speak more about God who art in heaven. We don't speak much about this, that you were again and again referring to, that the divine within us. I said, why don't you read this? That it is, I quoted exactly this statement, that the kingdom of God is within us. He said, you are right that it is there. What I said is, I was not disputing that teaching is, we don't emphasize that. But for the Hindus, especially those who study Vedanta, the central theme is that indwelling reality in us, the self in us, who am I? That question is the most primary one. And solution of that really solves everything. That is why kingdom of God is within us. In modern times, as you see, Swami Vivekananda, he gave this same idea in that book, Raj Yoga. Right in the beginning of Raj Yoga, this being a very central idea in religion, although he gave in course of translation and commentary on one of the aphorisms of Patanjali in that book, seeing the importance of this, this was brought right as the front piece of that book, that each soul is potentially divine. And the goal is to manifest this divinity in our lives. And then follows that statement that do it by different means. There are many means of doing it. That is called yoga. The word yoga is not properly understood in the Western world. It is identified with some physical exercises, postures and so forth. America has so many everywhere yoga studios. In fact, I read that the turnover of yoga is more than the turn of Microsoft, you see. It is so popular here. Every corner you have a yoga studio. But that is about, you see, the physical fitness and so forth. But that is not the meaning of this word at all as it comes in Vedanta, in Upanishads and Bhagavad Gita. What yoga means is that filling the gap between our understanding and our experience. Our understanding is one thing. We understand the highest truths. But when we look at our life, look at our experience, there is a big wide gap between them. Now, to fill that gap practically, that is called yoga. I give a nice example when I go to schools, colleges, that resonates with those students very quickly. That you can read a book on swimming very quickly, best book on swimming, and maybe you will be able to read it in an hour or in a couple of days, and you understood everything. Does that make you Michael Phelps automatically? No. That is the yoga, to bridge the gap between understanding and experience. You have to put the practice in it. So, and the practice has various aspects. So, let us believe, let us accept this first, that kingdom of heaven is within us. And that is being addressed to all of us. Ranjit say, yes, kingdom of heaven is within me. Let Revati say, yes, kingdom of heaven is within me. Let each of us announce that to oneself. Not that you have to go out and start announcing, but let us make this clear announcement to each of us that yes, I am potentially divine. Kingdom of heaven is within me. Let us remind that statement to ourselves. Yes, kingdom of heaven is within me. So, says the Lord, if you turn to the Lord with your whole heart and forsake this wretched world, your soul will find rest. That is very similar to what Krishna says about yoga in Bhagavad Gita. This world, it is full of suffering. There is no really any joy in it. There is always the hope of joy, but there is no joy. We keep on spend whole life in hoping for joy. That okay, as a student in high school, I used to feel that once I get into college, then I will be very happy. You know, this high school studies and all, and the parents keep on, you know, hey, study this, that all will be over when I get to college. Well, and then I will be so free and happy. That didn't happen. That is, certain things didn't happen in my life, and I am glad they didn't, but it is, a person may think, after that, my education is, you know, it is not that in itself very gratifying. I am not very happy, satisfied, but after that I will get a big paying job, and then I will be so happy. Well, you may get a well-paying job, but the happiness kind of recedes further. Then you may think, if I get a good spouse, that's it. Then I will become very happy. Well, I don't need to talk much about it. So it is. So it is. There is a story that I heard recently that one person, it is true for both genders, you know, it is not gender specific, that one person was walking across on the road and suddenly heard a voice from inside, "Stop!" And that person stopped, and immediately, you know, he saw that a big wall falling, and the person was so grateful that I didn't go there further. I heard that voice, "Stop!" And I did it. So that saved me. And then again at some other point, as that person was driving, suddenly had the green and was about to go, heard the voice, "Stop!" And then as that person stopped, a big fire truck, wow, 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 just crossed. Had I moved ahead, that fire truck would have completely smashed me. Thank God. So it is, then some other incidents happened. And then this man or woman, whosoever it was, asked God that, "Well, are you God? That you are, yes, I am your protector. I give you the counsel every time. Stop. When I see you are in danger, I say stop." That person said, "Many, many thanks, God. But my question is, where were you when I was getting married?" So, the point is that we keep on waiting for happiness, you know.
God,
it is,
I said, God is happy. God did say, but he didn't listen.
Ah, yeah, probably that was, that yes. Not every time God might have said stop, but we chose not to listen or something like that. Anyway, so what I mean is that one may think, well, I have a nice spouse, but without children, you know, I won't be very happy. Let me have children, then I will be really, really happy. Well, that also doesn't, I mean, one gets children, but that happiness keeps on receding, like horizon, you know. You see that horizon is exactly near that house. Let me go and catch the horizon. It looks just about 2.5 miles or something. So I'll get there and I will catch the horizon. You go to the house there, that you find the house, no doubt. But by the time horizon has receded further, the horizon was not where the house was. It is at that tree. My eyes were deceiving me. The horizon was not at that house. It is at that tree. Let me go to that tree. There I will find horizon. We keep on chasing the horizon called happiness. That is this world. That is why it is such a suffering. And we keep on blaming other people. Oh, my boss was the problem. Because of that I became unhappy. Whatever, you know, the President of United States is making me unhappy. Whatever, you know, you can say so many causes for that, but none of them is the cause. This world is like that. This world is that. There is no happiness in that. Buddha, with lot of analysis, has showed it 2,000 plus years ago, 2,500 years back. So, this is the nature of this world. It cannot be made different. Because it is transitory, complete, always constantly shifting. That which you feel will give you happiness till you get it, that very thing turns to be the source of unhappiness. That is how these things are. And therefore, it is told here by Thomas that look, this wretched world, the world is not a problem as such. Our holding on to that world, we don't want to let it go. That is the problem. The world is neither good nor bad, but when we get attached to it, when we try to hold on to it, when we want to keep it with us, well, that becomes the source of all misery. And so, let us see it clearly. In Bhagavad Gita, while Lord Krishna is telling about yoga, he says, that comes in the, I think, fifth chapter. I may be wrong, fifth or sixth, but I think fifth chapter. That what is yoga? He says that tam vidyat dukkha sanyoga viyogam yoga sanjitam. That what I am telling you as yoga is actually viyoga. Yoga means uniting, viyoga means separating. It is really the separation that is being called, it is a misnomer, yoga. It is really the viyoga. It is separate yourself from the source of suffering. If you catch the source of suffering, well, that is how you will be suffering. If there is, say, a red hot iron and I am holding on to it, I am suffering. What is the remedy? Well, drop it, brother. Drop it. That is the remedy. This is how Viyoga means separation. It is that which is unreal. What is the point in running after that which is unreal? Sometimes I laugh, you know, those who are in spiritual pursuits, other people call them impractical. You are impractical. Tell me, friends, what is practical, to go for real or to go for unreal? To run after the passing shadows or to run after that which is real? It is, that is practical, really. You can think about it. Do we not want to be practical? So, let us be practical. It is, the practicality lies in going for that which is enduring, that which is real. Let us go for that. That is living the life practically. Otherwise, we are impractical. Impracticality is bad in itself. But calling impracticality practicality is much worse. So, therefore, let us see this, that kingdom of God is within us. And then what it means is that it is, and forsake the wretched world. We have to know that it is wretched. It is the source of suffering, friends. It is not at all a source of joy. It is so difficult to find a happy face as you walk around. You will see, it is not easy to find a happy face. How can we find a happy face? Everybody, those who want to catch this world, always working hard, laden by all these burdens, cannot be happy. It is, you cannot make even a single person happy in your life. It is easy to think, okay, first we begin with, let me make the world happy. Okay, I cannot make the world happy, it is too big. Let me make one person at least happy. That also is difficult. Okay, let me make myself happy. Very difficult, unless we go to the source of happiness, this kingdom of heaven. Heaven is the place of all happiness. The storehouse of all happiness is called heaven. So, and where is it? It is within us. Let us remember, these are great statements. The more we meditate on them, the more meaning of that gets revealed to us. So, again, you know, I have exceeded the time allocated to me. And so I will read a few lines, but will not bother you with too much of discourse on it. We have already spent a lot of time. But then after reading, I will give you some opportunity to express your questions if you have any. Learn to despise everything outside you, and give yourself to the inner life, and you will see the kingdom of God coming within you. Means it is already in you, but you will start seeing it. It is a learning. That is why the word is used. Learn to despise that, because it looks so attractive, so enchanting, so charming. So to despise it is not easy. It becomes difficult. We find out some way or other to keep on hugging it again and again. So therefore, learn. It takes learning. to despise this world. So, as we despise it, we will see the kingdom of God within us. The kingdom of God is living peacefully and joyfully in the Holy Spirit, and this is not granted to the wicked. Christ will come and offer you His consolation if you will only prepare a suitable dwelling place within you. This is the interior arrangements. Let us make our interior like when you invite a very honorable guest, very special person to your home. What do you do? Ki koro tumra? What do you do? You let all the trash and the things are lying everywhere. The clothes are strewn all around. What do you do? Clean the place, isn't it? Clean the place. If we want the Lord to dwell within us, what do we have to do? Remove all that trash. And the trash is to be cleared. The God is just waiting outside. As soon as it is cleared, as you know, we were waiting to board the plane. It had just arrived from another place, and already it was a little delayed. But the announcement, the attendants are cleaning the plane, making it ready for you to board. So bear for a few more minutes. So the Lord is just waiting for us to clean the interior. And then the Lord will be entering us. So this is, this is the process of the interior life. I will conclude these things. I am so happy, I am so thankful to Brother Shankara and his associate, our Rishi, Rajarshi, Patrick, for letting me give talk on these thoughts. It is a meditation for me. Don't think that I was giving a lecture to you. I was giving a lecture basically to myself. You just provided an excuse, and therefore my heartfelt thanks and salutations to you all. So it is, and the hospitality that I was enjoying for last 2 days here, very good. Thank you very much for that. I am always happy to meet you wonderful devotees. So friends, let us hope and pray that our interior becomes clean fast, and then the God who is just waiting outside to enter will just enter. So thank you, friends. Bye. Any questions? Well, you have some question? Sundar, please go ahead, you know, don't hesitate. It is...
You were mentioning about meditating on the life of God every time within ourselves. So, say like you read some pages from Gospel or whatever book of the God or whatever you have. So, then how did it resonate in your day-to-day life? Say, since you are mentioning about like a computer thing, whatever we read, it goes and stores in the hard disk. But in our day-to-day life, everything needs to be in the RAM. So, how does it come in the front?
Exactly. You know, you have brought out a very nice point that it has to be, you know, the memory or the programs which are available, information that is available is classed in two different ways. That which is needed right now is put on what is called random available memory, and the other is put in the hard disk. That which we do not really need at all is stored somewhere in the cloud and not even on the hard disk. But the efficiency is whatever you need has to be brought on the RAM. Then only it starts playing from your machine. So our need has to be felt. Whatever you need, won't you bring it to the RAM? So we have to feel the need that, yes, I have to bring God in my heart. It is when you read something, let that become functional by putting it right on the RAM, not somewhere deep from God forgotten. It is to be put right there to be worked on every moment. And that doesn't require, you know, a separate time or any. Whatever you do, you keep that awareness, and thus every action will become, you know, an expression of that inner awareness. What you read will keep on resonating and helping you every moment that, yes, God is within me, and that I am potentially divine, and to manifest that divinity is the goal of life. If this keeps on resonating in you all the time, then that is meditation. Meditation is not just sitting in a place. It is sitting cross-legged and breathing. That is maybe a secondary help for meditation. But that is not meditation. Meditation is an interior process of making that thought practical on our life. Now you brought a right point that why does it not then come on the RAM? Why does it remain somewhere buried deep in the hardware, and we have to run the search engine again and again to locate it, because we have probably forgotten the file name also. So it is. So what is to be done? The need has to be felt for it, that I need this. If you feel need, then second thing that you have to do, that you feel the need, but there is lot of clutter already in your RAM. There is no room left. So you have to clean that clutter. Once you know my computer functioning became very slow, almost means it was, you see, going on so slowly, I got disgusted. And then I called one of our friends who works in this field, a very intelligent man. He immediately knew the problem. He came, and then he went to that task. He showed me so many things are running, you know, and they are eating up all your memory available. Functions are not happening because so many things. You close these, and then speed of your machine will increase. He closed all of those unnecessary. Hey, do you use this? No, I don't know how it got there. Is this no need? Come on, close it. Close it. And thus, we have to do that. We have to close all those programs which keep on bothering us. And thus, you will have now the freedom. First, you must feel the need for it. Secondly, you must give it the adequate power to function. Then it will really function in life. I can guarantee you on that. Right. Yes.
Maharaj, I understand that the world is not what it appears to be, and there's no happiness that's permanent that can be found in it. And as I practice spiritual disciplines, I purify my heart, and it becomes filled with the love of God and contentment and compassion and reverence. So I'm having trouble with this word despise, that I feel like it's such a harsh word that he uses, but it's a good word, but we need the correct understanding of it so that we don't become hateful and run away from things and become suicidal. Could you give us some insight into what the teaching really means?
Well, it's a good point. When I was reading the word despise, I had to be, you know, honest. I couldn't change the word while reading. But it is an important thing. Despise means you don't have to hatefully look at other people. That will be a completely opposite thing. Despise means don't go to get things from it. That is the meaning of despising. That it is an opposite of getting attracted and caught in it. And why the word despising has been used, there is a psychological importance to that. Let me tell you a story, an incident. You know, we needed to fix a metal sheet to our bathroom door because splashing water and all, it was making it get rotted. So we bought from the hardware store a metal sheet. It came in a roll. Now we tried to keep it flat. It will again roll. So how to keep it flat? The trick is to roll it reverse. Reverse roll it. And then keep some weight on it. And after about an hour, if you, open it, it becomes flat. So, there is the tendency built in for a long time to get attracted to the world, to think that this world is so beautiful, so full of enjoyment. And so we keep on rushing towards it. Now that has to be reverse rolled. And that is why this word is used. Instead of going in that direction, go in the opposite direction. You will not go in opposite direction. It is impossible because there is so much momentum that is built in going in the wrong direction. But the speed with which you are going in the wrong direction will gradually get reduced. That is what one of my wonderful teachers, you know, he knew that I am a student of science. So he used that example this is, you know, you studied in physics the parallelogram law of forces. It is a very beautiful law. It is so if you want to give turn to some motion in the desired direction, then you have to give a much bigger turn to it so that it will go in the right direction. In our language, there is a saying that if you go in a forest with the preparation to hunt a tiger, maybe you will be able to get a rabbit or something. So it is like that. So despise, as the end result will be not despising, but seeing the world as divine. That what will that mean is your idea of possession, your idea of grabbing those things, that will go away. That is the meaning of this word, despise. Thank you for the nice question.
Yeah, after that, I was wondering, it still seems like an external work. You know, you're working, going there, going back, and it's like women's liberation. You're doing that, you're doing anti-men and all that. It keeps, you know, it's never a balance. So like he is saying, we just change your inside. We're looking, we're working inward. All we are doing, I'm doing, when we get full of love, you will see the same world as beautiful.
But yeah, if you see that the same world, it will be a beautiful in a very different sense.
Yeah, so it's more like a general world. You don't have to bother about running after it.
You will see that it is the tendencies have to be reversed. That is what is meant by that. If you are told, okay, see everything as God, you will not be able to do it practically because there is so much of momentum that is built in, that is running after the world. And therefore it is told that no, get away from it. You will not actually run away from it. What will, as I was explaining, it will reduce the momentum of it. And then, that is what it will do, that you will see everything divinized, full of true love. And now in the world, the most misused word is love. That I love you. Nothing can be a bigger lie than that. It is, what we call love is usually need-based things, you know, need-based arrangements that we pass for love. But then there is something that is really the love that we will start feeling as we get away from this world. It is a very important thing, therefore, to give the opposite. That is the example I gave, that the metal is rolled like this. Now reverse roll it. Then your question is, well, it will then be reverse rolled. No, it will make it flat. Did you ever try it?
No, I understand that. But what I'm trying to say is that ultimately you're saying that to do this internal work, you need to become a saint, like getting away and getting detached. The beauty is to be able to enjoy this and do everything as being the normal, as
It is not question of being grihastha or sannyasi. It is the getting away is...
Can you explain what this getting away is?
Yeah, getting away means do not go after it. Do not think that the world is as such, as names and forms. It is beautiful. It is diabolical. It is a terrible trap that we get caught in it. And therefore, it is told that get away from it. When you see that God is all around, everywhere, then it will be a completely different perception. You will not think of that as names and forms. You will not think it as bound by time and space. You will not see the multiplicity. You will see that one God appearing in many forms. Then the selfishness will vanish. I and mine will go away. That is, that change will come. But the process for that change is reverse it. If I am sitting like this for a long time, you know, the back pain comes. The solution, the physical therapist, they give, okay, you bend it like this, reverse bend, put a reverse bend on it for a little while, so that your back pain, which has come because of sitting like this, will go away. And it works. That doesn't mean that I have to be always like that.
Can you explain to me every day? Like, for example, yesterday you were saying that you don't imitate the fact that being a dropout. I said, why not? I mean, why are we learning everything and then unlearning everything? So getting away from all that is also, how are you getting away, like, in daily life?
In daily life, therefore, it is very important that we keep on praying and meditating on this fact that God is within me and within everything. That is called, in a way, getting away. Whenever there is a tendency to get joy from something outside, stop. Stop. Because there is no joy there. All joy is here. And when you say that, let me get joy from that ice cream, then you are getting away from the source of joy. So let us realize this. This information will make us, put our actions in proper perspective.
Yes, simple word is do not expect.
Yeah, you don't expect anything. Yeah, exactly. Don't expect. Expectations bind us.
It goes with the training and sadhana.
That is why learning, learn. This word there is so important. Learn to despise the world. That is the part of the training. Sadhana. Yeah. Yes, please.
So, if you are not a computer expert or you don't have access to one, how do you identify your clutter? Sometimes when you invite the guests, we don't throw the clutter, we just
push it. You push it under the carpet. Yeah. Very good question. We cannot be, all of us are not computer experts. But then we can call one, that is, they are called saints. To work on this computer, you need, therefore, the saints. That is what cleans us. Saints bring that wisdom to us. They clean our heart. And thus, that happens. It is.
Swami, now that we are talking about computers, let me ask you something. What is equivalent to rebooting? Obviously, reincarnation is not rebooting. So what is that?
Well, the question is, why do you need to reboot? You do not unnecessarily reboot. Rebooting is firstly when you are not going to, you want to get many new programs added to it, updates added to it, and therefore you reboot. In fact, these days the systems are such that they compulsorily make you do it. They have taken, in many cases, out of your choice. It is, those updates, you have to have them. So it is, at that time you reboot the system. If there are certain problems, you do not see where the problem is. But many times that problem goes away by rebooting. That is why that joke is told, when somebody's car was stuck, not working, then a man stopped and said, can I help you? So, yes, put your window shield, down and up. Bring your window down and up. And that fellow did it. And then the car started. Hey, how did you know? Well, I work with Microsoft. You shut down the window and then start it. Then many times these problems are automatically solved. So, many times that is the rebooting. Let me just forget it. Sleep over it. Let me reboot the system. That rebooting the system is done for that. if there is a problem unnecessarily nagging us for too long, okay, reboot the system by going to the basics. That what Sri Ramakrishna told, God realization is the goal of life. Okay, reboot the system, bring it to that. And then you will see the things become, many problems get solved just by rebooting it like that. So, or the rebooting, another reason for rebooting is to get the updates. So you get updates to many new meanings. That is update, you know, as I was mentioning that when I started reading again, if you say that, oh, I have read it previously, well, read it again and the new meaning will come, it will get updated. So that is again rebooting, by which the new updates will get installed here. Then many of these updates, they are the security programs. They to protect you from some virus and all that. Because the virus, they are getting manufactured deliberately all the time. Thousands a day or many more. So you have to keep on the system, therefore has to be on the top of all these. So the updates are provided. And so you have to reboot your system to get those updates installed on your machine. So many things that we read in the scriptures, many wrong meanings of those are being pushed into the system. Now, therefore, you have to install the protective updates for that. And that is also the reason for rebooting the system.
You know, I was reading a very interesting article today. And it was, now that you have talked about virus, it was saying that what would be an antivirus in our own on human being?
Ah, yes.
And the article said that the mantras which we chant, the hymns which we chant, even if you do not understand the meaning, if you do it for 20-30 minutes, it offers a protection to the aura.
That is true.
The negative energy won't affect you.
That is very true. Even if you do not understand it, but if you have the right feelings about that, then certainly that will work as protection. For example, since my childhood I had been reciting what is known as Ramaraksha Stotra. It is, Ramaraksha Stotra is that protection, you know. Raksha means protection. So, that let Rama protect my eyes, let Rama protect my limbs, let Rama protect my mind. So many, you know, those. So, these are the protections. If you remember that, even if you don't exactly understand the meaning, but if you have the that feeling about it, then it will do the work. If you understand, then it is certainly better. But even if you don't understand, it does work. Like a medicine, you know. You do not understand its functions and all that. You are not a physician. But then even without understanding, you take the pill, it works. So it is like that. Okay then.
No, Maharaj, I was just going to add, you may recall as we introduced this evening's talk, it was suggested that we chant Jai Shri Durga.
Yeah.
Jai Shri Durga is such medicine.
Yeah.
This is what's meant by the spiritual benefit.
Yeah, yeah, certainly. Jai Durga, or if you that feelings are important. The meaning is, the word meaning is not that important. It is, even if you are regularly repeating the mantra given by your guru, one of the functions of that mantra is protection. But that is not the only function of it. it advances you also. Like your modern cars, many of them, they have this enhanced safety features. But if there is no engine to propel the car, what is that safety features? If you keep it in the garage, it will remain safe, you see. It is to be dynamic, you see. So only keeping safe is not the function, but making you move towards the goal. Okay, then, thank you very much. We had a lot of nice question answers. Thanks to all the questioners. It is the question, right question can bring out the right answer. And because the question contains the answer, and like the banana is contained in the banana peel, you know. So only you peel the question and the answer pops out. It's something like that. Thank you.
I'm sure all of you know that there is a dinner waiting for us inside, a potluck supper. So if any of you didn't know, please do join us. We will be now going in and enjoying our potluck supper. So, thank you, Maharaj. You told us you wouldn't be able to come as soon as December, but perhaps we can arrange some other time in the not too distant.
And let us hope. I would love to come back. This December has become, you know, because of Holy Mother's birth anniversary and other things, that at Christmas and some guests coming, so I can't really. My retreat is there. So therefore, I humbly request you to, you know, not hold me to my earlier contention of coming in December again. Thank you very much.
We'll make a new plan.
Right.
So please, we'll close with our regular chant. Would you like to do it, Maharaj?
This one?
The one that's on the back, yes.
On the back.
It says, let there be peace in outer space.
Yes. I think you will be better off doing it. I will be in the response.
Let there be peace in outer space.
Let
there be peace in the sky, on the earth, and in the waters.
Let there be peace in the sky, on the earth, and in the waters.
Let there be peace in the herbs, the plants, and the trees.
Let there be peace in the herbs, the plants, and the trees.
May the gods be peaceful.
May the gods be peaceful.
May the whole universe be pervaded by peace.
May the whole universe be pervaded by peace.
Let this infinite universal peace prevail throughout my being.
Let this infinite universal peace pervade through my being.
Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti.
Om
and to all beings
everywhere.
Again, thank you for coming this evening. Thank you to Maharaj so very much for these two evenings with us. We look forward to having you back sometime soon. Please do come and enjoy your potluck supper.